You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
We are not going to do everything great. If we did everything great, we would be not artists. I think that so much of our best work comes from learning what we can learn from the things that we do badly, and taking that forward and improving those to get something that's really, really great and exemplary, not just something that's good. So it's a lot of swings, mostly misses, but they're not really misses because I learned something about my process and about my writing each time that I didn't know before. So that way, when I get to that one that just comes out as a hit, it's not out of the blue. It's, no, this was 15 songs in the making. This was a month of learning to get to this really, really good, really, really great moment.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you haven't tried a free trial yet, go to the website builtforthestage.com and you can be on your way with 7 days working one-on-one with your own Broadway fitness coach via an app. Special thanks to our producing team, the Broadway Podcast Network. You can check them out, bpn.fm. All right. As always, super excited for this episode today. We're getting close to the opening of Broadway. And one of the first shows that will be opening back up is none other than Aladdin. And we have actually one of the genie standbys joining us. And among other things, just badass, superstar, musician, vocalist. So please welcome to the podcast, Juwan Crawley. Hi, Juwan.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you so much for joining us. I'm already having a super good time with you before we even press record. So it's been a pleasure to already meet you and chat it up a bit.
That feeling is very mutual.
All right, so let's jump into some exciting stuff that you have going on with some personal projects in the music industry that you've been working on. During the pandemic, you got to singing, you got to writing, you got to putting some stuff down in a recording studio. So tell us a little bit about what you've been up to while Broadway's been on hold.
So I've always done music. I think I was on my first album when I was like 9. And my family wanted me to study musical theater because that was a very clear path to having like a actual income based around music. And I really, really loved theater. I still do. So it was like, oh yeah, let me do that. But the whole time I've always felt like I'm doing the theater, but I'm also secretly doing my music, but not so secretly. And I think at first the theater thing started with my family because they're like, oh, him becoming an international pop star is way less likely than him going on Broadway. So let's get him something, you know, relatively realistic so he can actually do it. But even when I was in Aladdin, I think my first EP I did came out in 2019. And I wrote that during the time at Aladdin, and I found that it was great. It was really good. It's a really, really good project. But I needed, I was like, oh my gosh, I need time to just like be in a room, not worry about whether I'm doing the show or not worry about anything except for my music, and like sit down and learn my voice, my style, my writing as an adult, like my writing beyond trauma, like what I want to actually talk about moving forward. And as crazy as it was, that's literally what the pandemic was. It's just like time alone in my room. So at the start of the pandemic, I bought everything I could ever want for a music studio. I was very fortunate to be able to do that. And my producers like worked with me on Zoom, teaching me how to self-produce and showing me the way around the like the tech and the dolls and stuff. And I wrote a bunch of songs, and right before the shutdown, actually, like I want to say maybe the first week of March, I officially got signed to a music manager and a counselor. And he was on the teams of the people who discovered and created like Britney Spears, Lady Gaga, NSYNC, Justin Timberlake. So I'm very, 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 very excited to be working with him. It was kind of crazy because I hate that it worked out. I mean, obviously I'm sad because like people have no work. People have literally died. It's kind of one of the most traumatic experiences for all of us on the planet. But I am really grateful for the kind of alignment of me getting signed to this music manager who is absolutely incredible. And then him challenging me in my writing, me having access to my producers in a way that I haven't before because they were also available. And then, frankly, me just having months and months and months of alone time to sit and learn and write 15 bad songs and then one really good one and then 30 bad songs and then another really great one. Like, it's been for my music career, a really, really beautiful time, kind of in spite of all the craziness that's been going on relentlessly.
Let's get into that. We kind of did a little preface before the recording about maybe some stuff we talk about, but you just said I'd put out 15 bad stuff and then one good one, or 30 bad things and then one good one. Talk to us about that, because that's so important as performers, either auditioning, or it's so important as just living life in general. But I love to just say, like, you just have to keep stepping up to the plate and keep swinging. And how do you do that? How do you stay mentally, you know, progressing forward in spite of maybe having small setbacks?
Well, I think that one thing I find is that, or at least for me, I try to keep my process super, super private. And I find that to be really helpful. Like, because, you know, at least for me, I want to share with the world my best foot, like my best going, you know, my best foot forward. So whether I'm working on auditions or my songs, for example, like over this pandemic, I've probably written 220 songs, but you guys will only ever hear 10 of them. Because the other 240 were for me. That was what I needed to like go through to learn my habits, to make sure that they were choices, not just habits. I needed to learn the patterns that I was doing, which ones are working, which ones needed to break, which ones I stole, which ones came from me. And I think that, at least for me, part of consistently moving forward is not really ever looking to the side or to other people. And that, at least for me, again, the culture of like prematurely sharing everything I do makes me want to look at other people's stuff, which in turn distracts me from actually continuing on and growing. And I also think like the reality is that we are not going to do everything great. If we did everything great, we would be not artists. I think that so much of our best work comes from learning what we can learn from the things that we do badly, and taking that forward and improving those to get something that's really, really great and exemplary, not just something that's good. So it's, yeah, a lot of swings, mostly misses, but they're not really misses because I learned something about my process and about my writing each time that I didn't know before. So that way, when I get to that one that just comes out as a hit, it's not out of the blue. It's, no, this was 15 songs in the making. This was a month of learning to get to this really, really good, really, really great moment. And that's how I live my life as a, at least as a writer and as a vocalist. And I try to do all the work in private, so that way when I share it with the public, it's really, really exemplary.
Okay, everyone. I'm sorry. I misintroduced this podcast. You're actually listening to a TED Talk from Juwan. So we're just gonna put those last 2 minutes in a quote book right there, because yeah, there's a lot of gold there. A lot of gold. I love that. So thank you for sharing. Last thing about your music and the recording side of things and the writing side of things. With the writing, you're not going to always, I'm assuming, you're not going to always wake up and be inspired to write. But how you have just said, you write a lot. You put a lot of stuff out there in your own, you know, private space as you're creating. How do you consistently sit down and have yourself in that place to put the pen to the paper?
My rule is that it's just my job to show up. So, you know, I sound crazy, but, you know, when the muses come and they give you what they give you, and that's great. But our job as artists is just to show up every day. So every day I go, I get my coffee, come home, drink some water, and I sit down in my studio at my piano for at least 2 hours, just fiddling, humming. And if nothing comes that day, nothing comes that day. But I noticed that maybe like 3 months into just consistently doing that, and when I say every day, I mean this also brings me so much joy, so it's not work for me. But like literally sitting down every day, 9 out of 10 days, I'm going to write something. And 25 out of 30 days, it's going to be bad. But it will be something. So at least for me, it's just literally about consistently showing up. And when the inspiration comes, the inspiration comes, but it's about being open and in the position to receive it and absolutely, to get it out.
Yes. And that's for everyone listening. Like, I like to parallel things with life or fitness or career. That's in everything. Just about keep showing up. I love that.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Oh man, it's only been 11 minutes so far into this episode. Jeez, we could put the stamp on it right here. Let's get into being a standby as the genie. I've seen the show 3 times now. I love the show. And the role of the genie is just insane. The amount of energy, the amount of time you're on the stage, the amount of different talents and skills, whether it's vocal, physical, whatever, comedic, it's a beast of a role, I will say. So how do you prepare yourself to be ready when you don't know if you have to be ready or not? How is that for you when you show up to the theater each day, or when you wake up and you're going to get that first cup of coffee mentally?
I think that, funny enough, similar to my music, most of my prep happens not there. Most of it is about living every day as if I'm going to be on, taking care of like my mental health. So that way when it does happen, I'm not like, you know, I'm just, you know, ready. But truly most of it happens at home, making sure I warm up in the morning, making sure that, you know, I only drink once a week during the show. on our, the night of our final night leading into our day off, just living as if you're doing the part and taking it on yourself. If, you know, if I don't do the role for, I mean, the longest time, there's one time I didn't do the part for 3 months and then I went on and Beyonce was there that night, but it was fine because even though I hadn't done it on stage in 3 months, every week I do the show full out for myself just to keep it in my body. And of course, you mean every time you get that text, there's like, you know, your heart jolts a little bit, no matter how long you've been doing it. But it's only stressful for me until I say that first line. And then I'm like, oh, yes. Okay. I know this. This is my actual job, not sitting in my dressing room.
I think that's a great parallel to draw from everyone that's listening that Juan's talking about, where like all of us have been going through this pandemic. And when you're going back to your first audition or first rehearsal or whatever it might be coming up this fall of 2021, or maybe it's already happened, there's going to be the jitters, there's going to be the anxiety or the excitement or whatever. But when that first line comes out or that first moment, you're going to settle into what you know to be true, what you've already built as a foundation. And I think for me hearing that, it would put me at ease, you know, if I was a performer being anxious of making a return.
I think that audiences and people are always, everyone's always rooting for you. You know, we strive for perfection knowing that we can't attain it. So what we end up with is just our best. And I think that that's actually what people want. And people are, especially in our industry, we're so fortunate that people actually do want you to do your best always, because that's what benefits them. And that also brings me comfort. And then my company, oh my God, the actors, everyone, it's just like, you know, it's a big family. So it feels a little more at home with everyone than kind of being separated in our dressing room in our own little world waiting to get to be with people again.
Yeah, that's a great reminder, just whether you're auditioning or going back to your company and your creative teams behind the table for rehearsals, everyone knows what everyone's gone through and they're rooting for you to do your best, like you just said. So when you step on the stage as the genie, we kind of were talking about this beforehand, when you're on the stage, you said you kind of have it almost mathematically mapped out, or like very strategically in phases planned from start to finish. How is your process for that? And how did you come about like making those decisions?
So I have, I just approach, for me, because I want to, especially as a standby, make sure that I give the same level of performance for each show. Everyone deserves that same level of excellence. I kind of can't, I'm not frankly good enough to be one of the people who can just like whip it off on a whim. That's not how I've ever approached anything. So I have, I mean, literally mapped out, and anyone in the show will tell you that my shows are pretty consistent. Like I don't very often change very much, because every riff, every gesture, everything that I do that's extra, at least for me, is a part of the story that I'm trying to tell. So I have to keep going after that story, and I find that each time I do it, it becomes even more honest, even more involved. But I get that by not kind of like just going off the rails for no purpose at all. I find that, at least for me, it means a little more to the audience when everything is intentional. And with the voice that I have, it can just be a little easy to get kind of masturbatory and show offy. And that was great for like high school. But you get to a point, and I'm in a show where everyone is talented enough to be show offy if that's what they wanted. And, you know, you get to a level in the industry where everyone can do that. And what people actually want is like truth, So if it's not really in service of the truth of the moment, then I can't do it. And for me to find what extra things that were special to me that worked for those moments, I had to really sit down, not just with me, with my voice teacher, with our resident director, with our conductor, with our resident conductor, and really map out, just because my voice is so different from the rest of the genies. So we really had to figure out how to make it sound like me and still be the show. So we really sat down for weeks and mapped out each thing that I would do that would both fit who I am as an artist, what the show needs, and what the company needs. Mm-hmm. So it's a team effort.
I love that. Always in pursuit of chasing the story. That's awesome. All right, Juwan, that's going to be the episode because, I mean, frankly, I think it was like timestamp 6 minutes or so when I said you did a TED Talk. This was like this was one of my favorite episodes to date, and we've done over 100. So
thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much for your time and being on Built for the Stage podcast. You're a pleasure. And everyone that's listening, please follow Juwan on the Insta. We have his handle right in the description of this episode, as well as his website. So check out all things going on with Juwan Crawley. Thank you so much for being on
Built for the Stage podcast. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I've been following you guys forever.
My pleasure. All right, everyone. That'll do it. Joe Roscoe here. Thanks for listening. If you like the podcast, please rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We'll see you for the next one. Later.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.